It's Thursday, the 4th of December, 2025, and you're listening to Weekly Reveille here on Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman, in Flagstaff, bringing you news of interest to our veterans community here in Arizona. Today we have news from our military news websites, as well as the websites and publications of our veterans service organizations, and of course, the Veterans Administration. So, starting out with Stripes.com, we have this first headline: Democrat lawmakers and veterans groups issue warning over expiring tax credits for health insurance. This is from the 2nd of December by Linda F. Hershey of Stars and Stripes, Washington. Health insurance coverage for 267,000 veterans and their families will be at risk if tax credits that lower their premium costs under the Affordable Care Act are allowed to expire, Democrat lawmakers warned Tuesday. Senator Richard Blumenthal, Democrat of Connecticut, said that there are only 12 working days left in December for Congress to renew premium tax credits under the ACA, also known as Obamacare, which runs out at the end of the month. Individuals enrolled in the ACA program access health insurance with lower costs based on their annual income and household size, among other factors. But Blumenthal, the top Democrat on the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee, accused Republicans of refusing to work with Democrat lawmakers to extend the tax credits, which have made premiums free or have significantly lowered out-of-pocket costs for millions of Americans, including veterans. Veterans who rely on the tax credits will be harmed if Republicans allow these critical tax credits to expire, Blumenthal said at a news conference. Americans, including veterans, are seeing the sticker shock now. Health insurance enrollment through the ACA topped 24 million in 2025, more than double the number of enrollees 5 years ago. A family of four with a household income of $45,000 currently has no annual premium, but will be charged $1,607 a year, according to the Bipartisan Policy Center, a nonprofit organization that advocates to end partisan differences in policymaking. A 60-year-old couple with an annual income of $85,000 could face a yearly premium that's a quarter of their annual income instead of 8.5% with the tax credits, according to the center. President Donald Trump said last week that extending the subsidies temporarily may be needed to work out the details of creating an alternative to the tax subsidies under the ACA program, which was developed under former President Barack Obama. Some kind of an extension may be necessary to get something else done because the Unaffordable Care Act has been a disaster, Trump told reporters on Air Force One, referring to the Affordable Care Act. The president said he would support a plan to shift dollars from the tax credits to individual health savings accounts for enrollees. You give the money to the people. I like it the best, Trump said. But Representative Mark Tacano of California, who is the top Democrat on the House Veterans Affairs Committee, criticized Trump's proposal for health care savings accounts as not addressing the rising costs of health insurance. Substituting health savings for the tax subsidies is a sleight-of-hand scam. Receiving $2,000 or $3,000 to buy a visit to the doctor does nothing to take care of the retail rates for insurance that consumers face, Tacano said. He predicted that higher premiums will cause thousands of enrollees to either drop their coverage or face hardship meeting other basic expenses that have been skyrocketing, including for housing, groceries, and child care. Lindsay Church, executive director of Minority Veterans of America, warned that the free and low-cost health care many veterans receive from the Department of Veterans Affairs does not extend to their spouses, children, or caregivers. A critical safety net for veterans and their families is unraveling, Church said. These tax credits cap premiums and provide protection from crippling health care costs. They ensure working people will not face a financial cliff. Church offered the recent example of a veteran with a family whose health insurance costs under the ACA program will go from $0 to $500 a month in 2026 if the tax credits are not renewed by Congress. Veterans who use the discounted insurance plan for themselves or family members often do not qualify for Medicaid, Medicare, or TRICARE, the Uniformed Services Healthcare Program, veterans advocates said. The recent federal government shutdown resulted after Republican leaders excluded the tax credit from a short-term spending bill for government services. Democrats initially had refused to adopt the spending bill unless the tax credit was part of it. But the longest government shutdown in U.S. history, 43 days, ended after several Democrats voted with Republicans to fund the government through January the 30th, 2026, without the extension. There is zero excuse for failure to extend the health care tax credits, Blumenthal said. Veterans and their families will bear the brunt of that failure by Congress. Republicans argue that the subsidies were enhanced during the COVID-19 pandemic and intended only as a temporary measure. Enacted in 2021 under the American Rescue Plan Act, the tax credits lowered the percentage of their income that individuals and families must spend for health insurance premiums. An increasing number of people under the age of 55 are enrolling in the ACA program to buy health insurance for themselves and family members, according to the Bipartisan Policy Center. These individuals will be disproportionately affected by higher premiums without the renewal, according to the center. Former service members who use the ACA program for individual coverage may be unable to get some or all of their health care through the VA, according to veterans advocates. Some former members of the National Guard or Reserves may not qualify for free or low-cost VA health care benefits if they served only for training purposes. They must have been called to active duty by federal order and completed their full service. A dishonorable discharge is another factor that disqualifies a former service member for VA health care benefits. Veterans must also meet the minimum requirement of 24 continuous months of military service unless they were discharged for disability or hardship, or they served prior to September 7, 1980, according to the VA. That's Democrat lawmakers and veterans groups issue warning over expiring tax credits for health insurance. Next, we have Pentagon rolls back Biden policy that let certain DEERS enrollees choose gender ID preference. This is by Jennifer H. Savan from the 3rd of December. U.S. military retirees, family members, and contractors may no longer assert a personal preference in requesting a change in their gender category in the Defense Department's database under amended federal guidelines issued this week. The move reverses procedures issued in 2024 by former President Joe Biden that allowed the designated groups to alter their gender marker in the Defense Enrollment Eligibility Reporting System. DEERS gender marker is a data element that identifies a person as male or female. Changes may now be made only if there is an administrative error, according to the new rule. It stems from a January executive order issued by President Donald Trump titled Defending Women from Gender Ideology Extremism and Restoring Biological Truth to the Federal Government, according to the Pentagon. The order declares that sex is binary and unchangeable. The guidance does not affect military personnel, an official at the Pentagon said Tuesday. Transgender service members are no longer authorized to serve in the U.S. military under the Trump administration. The rule went into effect Monday, the same day it was published in the Federal Register, according to the Pentagon. The Defense Department does not track how many people the change is expected to affect, said the official who spoke on condition of anonymity. The Defense Department has designated the rule as final and immediately enforceable. Federal agencies are generally required to invite the public to comment before finalizing regulations, although exceptions are made in certain cases, which include emergencies or other good cause. This final rule codifies actions taken under direct presidential authority, the department wrote in the Federal Register, in justifying the immediate rule enforcement without first considering public comment. Removing the regulations immediately provides transparency and may reduce confusion. Other federal agencies have already followed suit with the executive order. Earlier this year, the State Department announced it would issue new passports with only an M or F in accordance with the person's biological sex at birth. The Biden administration introduced an option to select X instead of male or female on passport applications in 2022. That's Pentagon rolls back Biden policy that lets certain DEERS enrollees choose gender ID preference. Let's move on to militarytimes.com for this headline. VA told companies they may be breaking the law. Most are still in business. This is by Leah Rosenbaum of The War Horse from the 2nd of December. Helping veterans get through the red tape of applying for VA disability benefits has become a multi-billion dollar industry over the past decade, which might be surprising because charging vets for such help may be against federal law. An investigation by The War Horse and NPR reveals that over the past 10 years, the Department of Veterans Affairs has sent more than 40 letters to dozens of claims consulting companies, sometimes called claims sharks by critics, warning them to review their practices and immediately cease any illegal activities. Yet, this hasn't stopped them. On the contrary, many of these companies have only gotten bigger and bolder. One company even sent The War Horse a cease and desist letter trying to prevent parts of this story from being published. These companies exist in a wild west, raking in huge sums as lawmakers and regulators struggle to keep up with legal loopholes. Some of them run multi-million dollar firms with more than 100 employees on their payroll, while others are small family-owned businesses. Many are founded and run by veterans who claim that their primary goal is to help other veterans get the benefits they deserve. But under federal law, only representatives accredited by VA, such as lawyers and nonprofit veteran service organizations, can provide such help. And the department has been trying for years to crack down on unauthorized firms with little to no success. "We just focus on our client," said Chaz Sampson, an Army veteran and CEO of Seven Principles, who insists he never received the warning letter that VA sent his company last year. "If the VA ever comes out and said, 'Hey, you're going to prison for this tomorrow,' we're going to stop doing it. Until then, we're going to continue servicing the people." The War Horse obtained dozens of warning letters from VA in response to a Freedom of Information Act request for all cease and desist letters sent to claims consulting companies over the last 10 years. An analysis of the letters and an investigation into recipients show, first, at least 29 of the 38 companies that were warned in letters that they may be engaged in unlawful activities appeared to still be operating as of late November. 29 still have active business registrations, and a total of 34 have an active website or social media account. At least 9 of the companies were registered as nonprofit. Second, some of the biggest companies, including VA Claims Insider, Trajector Incorporated, and Veterans Guardian VA Claims Consulting, received multiple letters over the 10-year period, all while growing their companies to hundreds of employees and collectively spending millions of dollars on lobbying efforts and political endorsements. And finally, the number of warning letters spiked in 2024 amid a rising VA effort during the Biden administration to stop a wide variety of fraud against veterans, who reported being swindled out of $419 million last year, according to the Federal Trade Commission. There are no letters from 2025 in response to the War Horse's FOIA request, and VA wouldn't say if the agency had sent out any this year. The debate over charging veterans. The lack of repercussions for claims consultants comes as battles at state houses across the country and on Capitol Hill play out over dueling legislative efforts to either crack down on the companies or clear the way for them to legally charge veterans for such services. The benefits claims process can be long and arduous as veterans petition VA to rate the severity of their disabilities and get financial and other benefits based on a percentage rating from 0 to 100. These companies offer speed and convenience in return for cash, like hiring an accountant instead of doing taxes yourself. But many of these firms charge vets more than 10 times what they might pay for help on their taxes. Some bill veterans a one-time fee that's five times their disability rate increase, which can be upwards of $20,000. Most companies say they're not violating the law because they only advise veterans on how to file for benefits and don't actually file the veterans' benefits themselves. The warning letters have had little impact, critics say, largely because about 20 years ago, Congress stripped penalties from the law. VA is not a law enforcement agency, Pete Kasperowitz, VA press secretary, said in response to questions from the War Horse and NPR, but is fully committed to preventing bad actors from taking advantage of veterans. Kasperowitz said that when VA sees signs of fraud, the department works with appropriate law enforcement authorities. But we also want to make sure veterans have choices, particularly if they aren't happy with whatever options might be available to them for free. Callbot auto-dials VA. One of the biggest companies, Florida-based Trajector Incorporated, received two warning letters, one in 2017 when the company was called Vet Comp and Penn Medical Consulting, and the second in 2022, a 12-page missive detailing potential legal issues with the company's fee structure and staff attorneys. That letter, sent via certified mail, was addressed to the company's co-founder and CEO, Navy veteran Jim Hill. It warned the company to cease all preparation, presentation, and prosecution of VA benefit claims, or else VA would refer the matter to appropriate federal and state law enforcement authorities. 3 years later, Trajector is still operating and pursuing veterans for payment, even when veterans say the company wasn't responsible for their disability rating increase, an NPR investigation has found. Using an automatic dialing system the company refers to as Callbot, Trajector has been able to repeatedly dial a VA phone hotline that's supposed to be a resource for veterans to check the amount of their monthly disability payments. But some claims consulting companies, including Trajector, call a hotline regularly using a veteran's personal information to see if they've obtained a payment increase, the investigation found. Trajector isn't the only company that calls VA to check on a veteran's benefit increase. Veterans Guardian calls the agency, and Veteran Benefits Guide also uses an auto dialer to check on VA benefits, though the company says it does so with its customers' consent. NPR's investigation found that once Trajector determined a veteran had gotten an increase, the company would then begin pursuing the veteran for payment. When NPR asked about the autodialer, Trajector pointed to its service agreement, which says that the company may use personal information about the veteran to access VA systems. In response to VA's first warning letter, Trajector told the VA that what they did was legal because they prepare the person, not the claim. But VA replied, "This is a distinction without a difference." In an email to the War Horse, a company spokesman insisted that Trajector is not a claims consultant, but instead a medical evidence service provider. "We take any communication from VA seriously," said Steve Zanofsky, Director of Communications and Public Relations of Trajector, when asked about the warning letters. "When these letters were received, we promptly responded in writing, and in the nearly 4 to 8 years since then, have received no reply from the VA. I was more than happy with paying." Gage Coons recalls his trip to Montgomery, Alabama, as one of the happiest times in recent memory. He road-tripped there from his home in southern Alabama to speak out against a proposed law that would ban claims consulting companies from practicing in the state. Veteran Benefits Guide, a claims consulting company that Coons had used to upgrade his disability rating, had asked if he'd be willing to drive to the state capitol and lobby against the bill. The company paid about $200 for his gas and food, Coons said, but he did it because it was what he believed in. If you're a veteran, you deserve every option, he said. Coons said he tried multiple options to get his disability rating after leaving the Navy in 2023. A former gas turbine system mechanic on the USS John S. McCain, Coons left the service with an injured shoulder and PTSD. His first attempt to file for VA disability benefits was with Disabled American Veterans, a veteran service organization that helps veterans file for their benefits for free. Coons said he appreciated that he didn't have to pay, but the process took more than 6 months, time when he could have been getting disability pay after the business he tried to start failed, he said. After getting rated at 50% disabled, he saw a message from a friend on Snapchat about Veterans Benefits Guide, helping veterans increase their VA ratings. That process went by super fast, Coons said. Veterans Benefits Guide set him up with multiple doctors to document his medical issues, then compiled a packet for him that included all the necessary medical records and forms. A couple of months later, Coons was rated at 90% disabled. The only catch was the cost. Coons owed Veteran Benefits Guide around $5,000. I was more than happy with paying that, especially with the amount you get monthly in disability benefits, said Coons, now a full-time student getting a welding degree. Not to be referenced or discussed. Not everyone is happy that veterans are paying companies like Veterans Benefits Guide thousands of dollars. In a letter dated August 8, 2024, VA said Veterans Benefits Guide may be engaged in unlawful or illegal activities, and it should review its business practices and immediately cease any such activities. VA characterized it as a cease and desist letter in a public records response to the Warhorse, though Veterans Benefits Guide disagrees. In a September 2024 response to VA, the company said that it was confident it is not involved in unlawful or illegal activities with respect to the assistance it provides veterans. The company says VA never responded, signaling to VBG that the matter was resolved. A year later, Joshua Smith, founder and CEO of the company, said in an interview with The Warhorse and NPR that we've never received a cease and desist letter like other companies have. Smith, a Marine Corps veteran, founded Veterans Benefits Guide after a career at VA as a disability rater. We want the VA involved. We want federal oversight. We want accreditation reform. The company, however, didn't want to be included in this article. Earlier this month, its lawyer fired off an 11-page cease and desist letter to the Warhorse. In it, they repeat that the letter Veterans Benefits Guide received from VA was not a cease and desist, and that a mischaracterization of the letter is likely to misread leaders and imply that VBG engages in unlawful or illegal activities, despite there being no supporting evidence of such a claim. The company then went further, demanding assurances that VBG will not be referenced or discussed in the article should it be published. Claims consultant companies have a track record of denying they received cease and desist letters from VA. The letter that VBG received was similar to one that another claims consulting giant, Veterans Guardian, received in 2019, citing the same laws and using similar wording. It took a scolding from a House subcommittee on Veterans Affairs to force Veterans Guardian's co-founder, William Taylor, to eventually acknowledge receipt of that VA warning letter after he said in sworn testimony that his company had not received a cease and desist. Even after the committee dug up the letter and confronted Veterans Guardian's legal team, Taylor hedged in his concession. "I take no issue with this characterization," Taylor wrote, "though this is not how I personally view the correspondence. The issue is not with the companies." Seven Principles, a claims consulting business with locations in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and Houston, has a few similarities to Veterans Benefits Guide. They were both founded by veterans turned VA disability raiders turned entrepreneurs. But with fewer than 30 employees, Seven Principles is a much smaller than Veteran Benefits Guide, which has more than 200 employees. Yet it was mailed a warning letter from VA all the same. The letter, dated May 2, 2024, is similar to the letter sent to Veterans Benefits Guide, swapping out details from the company's website. Seven Principles CEO and founder Chaz Sampson, who lives in Houston, said that he never received or saw the letter, which was addressed to a Virginia Beach suite listed on the company's website and business registration. "I think you have to put into the veterans' hands what their choice is," Sampson said. "If there is that many companies doing this at that level, then there's that many veterans that are asking for the resource. The issue is not with the companies. The issue is, why aren't the veterans being serviced?" "An average veteran's claims case takes about 12 to 14 hours of work," Sampson said. He said they try to involve the veteran as little as possible. "We do all the legwork," he said, "including logging into the veteran's benefits account online and submitting the claim. This is a massive burden for our client, and we're lifting it off him or her family to make sure they get the benefit that they require." Sampson said the one thing that sets his company apart is his fee cap. Charges are capped at $12,000, the most pay between $5,000 and $7,500, he said. Still, there are other companies that do similar work for far less. Lucas Simianer, the founder of VetClaims.ai, said his company charges a flat fee of $1,250 per veteran. VetClaims.ai, which was founded in 2024, has not received a warning letter. "In no world should you be charging $10,000 for a VA claim," Simianer said. "It doesn't cost that." The policy stalemate. Michael Missel, who served as a VA Inspector General from 2016 to January of this year, said his department was occasionally able to bring criminal cases against claims consulting companies with the Department of Justice. But those cases were rare and usually only in instances when the companies made false statements or falsified medical records. "They were just very hard to prosecute," Missel said, given that the criminal penalties had been taken away. Otherwise, he said, it was up to VA to police the companies by sending out cease and desist letters, and many organizations just ignored the letters and continued to do work. For the past several years, both federal and state lawmakers have been attempting to legislate a more permanent policy fix. While at least 9 states have passed bills outlawing unaccredited companies from charging fees, at least 6 states have legalized claims consulting companies, creating a confusing patchwork of laws where companies are legal in some states but not others, the War Horse reported earlier this year. Veterans Guardian, Veteran Benefits Guide, and other big claims consulting companies have each spent hundreds of thousands of dollars lobbying for state and federal laws that would legitimize their practices, previously reporting from the War Horse found. These laws would allow them to charge fees up to $12,500 for helping veterans file their claims, though some in industry think that price tag is still too steep for disabled veterans to pay. In California, state legislators drafted a bill earlier this year that would outlaw the companies, calling their business practices deceptive. The bill is set for a vote in the state Senate in January 2026. "The current federal law is like having no penalty for speeding," said Pilar Schiavo, a Democrat assembly member in California and co-author of the bill. "If we're able to put this into state law, then it allows the AG to feel like they have solid grounding to go after these companies and really hold them accountable," Schiavo said. In nearby Nevada, where Veteran Benefits Guide is based, Ruben De Silva, a Marine Corps veteran and assembly member, said the company is the type that needs more regulation. He said that he initially thought the organization was working to help veterans. However, when I saw the amounts that veterans were paying and just the sort of lack of accountability, that's what really changed my mind. Earlier this year, Da Silva proposed state legislation that would regulate claims consulting companies. I thought it would be a slam dunk, he said, noting that the issue was the top veterans' concern brought to the attention of legislators. But then the lobbying began, and it was very aggressive. Eventually, Da Silva proposed a compromise, a $1,000 fee cap for companies to assist with initial claims and unlimited fees to assist with appeals. But both the companies and veteran service organizations were against the proposal, and the bill died. Bottom line, Da Silva said, it's all about the money. That's VA told companies they may be breaking law. Most are still in business. They note that the War Horse and NPR have created a searchable database to look up claims consulting companies that have received warning letters from VA about their practices. You can find it at www.datawrapper.de. You can search by company name and click on the year to read the letter. You're listening to Weekly Reveille here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. Remember, you can listen to Weekly Reveille and other Sun Sounds of Arizona programming either as it streams or at a time of your choosing by going to the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org or by downloading the Sun Sounds of Arizona app. That's available for your iPhone or iPad from the Apple App Store, or your Android phone or tablet from the Google Play Store. And you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona streaming on your Amazon Dot, Echo, or Show. We're going to turn now to the December issue of the American Legion magazine for this remembrance of Pearl Harbor, December 7th, coming up here in just a couple of days. Remember Pearl Harbor. Months after the attack, a Belleville, Illinois man dedicated a monument acknowledging those who fought and died. It's by Frederick W. Bow, Jr. Would you believe America's first monument to the Battle of Pearl Harbor is not in Honolulu? It's true. The USS Arizona Memorial was dedicated in 1962, but an earlier monument to all who survived or were killed at Pearl Harbor was dedicated in Belleville, Illinois, across the river from St. Louis in 1942. It happened like this. On December 7, 1941, George E. Hoffman was a 25-year-old lieutenant aboard USS Chew, a light destroyer anchored close to Battleship Row. At 7:55 a.m., the klaxon sounded battle stations. America was under attack by the Empire of Japan. An hour later, the Pacific Fleet lay in ruins and our nation was at war. Back home, Hoffman's uncle and namesake, retired farmer George E. Hoffman, was filled with a dread. He didn't know if his nephew was alive or dead. 5 anxious weeks went by. Finally, he received a postcard. It began, "I live." In relief and gratitude, the older Hoffman was inspired to commission a monument to the battle. It's an imposing 11 feet tall and made of Vermont granite. On one side is an ornate cross and the words, "Because I live, ye shall live also," John 14:19. On the reverse, with the Army and Navy crests, is etched, "To those who gave much and those who gave all," the baptism of fire, Pearl Harbor, December 7, 1941. Dedicated to George E. Hoffman of the USS Chew by his uncle, George E. Hoffman. The monument was designed, built, shipped, and erected by July 1942. We claim it to be the first in the United States to commemorate the Pearl Harbor attack. It's located in the historic John Messinger Cemetery near Belleville. Messinger was a founder of the state of Illinois and a great-grandfather of the elder George Hoffman. My father, Frederick W. Bow, Sr., was also on the Chew. His Naval Reserve unit was activated in December 1940, sent to Honolulu, and assigned to the ship. He was the chief torpedoman, also responsible for depth charges. He told me he was eating breakfast when the alarm sounded. He thought it was a drill, but no, the attack had begun. He manned a machine gun, and as the battle continued, a Japanese torpedo plane made a low pass by Chu toward battleship Row. The pilot waved. Pop shot him down, and a second plane, too. After Chu got underway, the ship reported sinking two Japanese mini-submarines near the mouth of the harbor. Later, evidence refuted this claim. After the war, my dad became a funeral director in St. Charles, Missouri. He was a leader in the community and never missed a meeting of the Pearl Harbor Survivors Association. "We'd get together, have a few beers, and fight the war over again," he'd say. Pop raised me, my brother Kurt, and my sister Jane, with the motto, "Remember Pearl Harbor." In time, I became a pastor of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. One day, while serving Bethany Lutheran Church near Belleville, I was coming back from lunch and noticed an historical marker for John Messenger Cemetery. I pulled in. The first thing I saw was a large, impressive stone monument. When I read the inscription, I nearly fainted. Here was the name of an officer on USS Chu, the same ship my dad served on. They would have known each other. That was in 2011, the 70th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. I was inspired to start a small, simple commemoration in honor of those who defended our country that day. Our ceremony began at 11:55 a.m. Central Time, 7:55 Pacific, on December 7th, and included an invocation, presentation of colors, the Pledge of Allegiance, and a national anthem, a wreath-laying taps, a moment of silence, and a benediction. The ceremony has continued through the years. The St. Clair County Historical Society now owns the cemetery. Executive Director Will Shannon is working toward national recognition of the monument. Meanwhile, Charles A. Woodford, American Legion Post 2007 of Swansea, Illinois, led by Commander Jim Page, has taken responsibility for the cemetery, monument, and annual Pearl Harbor Day ceremony. In 2024, former U.S. Representative and retired Army Major General Bill Enyart spoke at the commemoration, and Jerry Sauerwein of Post 2007 led the Pledge of Allegiance. The year before, retired Navy Rear Admiral Scott Jones addressed the crowd on the lessons of Pearl Harbor. Every generation has its epic-making event, something big and important and unforgettable after which nothing is ever the same again, Shannon says. For my generation, it was 9/11. For my parents, it was Kennedy's assassination. For my grandparents, it was Pearl Harbor. For a small gathering of patriots in an obscure Illinois cemetery, and for America as a whole, Pearl Harbor reminds us that our country has enemies who mean us harm, and that the price of freedom is strength, readiness, and resolve, always. The Reverend Frederick Bew, Jr., our author, is an Army veteran and chaplain for American Legion Post 111 in Shrewsbury, Missouri. And that's Remember Pearl Harbor, an article from the December issue of the American Legion magazine. Well, let's turn now to news from the Veterans Administration on news.va.gov. And our first item, Vacation at VA, One Woman's Mindset to Master Blindness. From the 2nd of December by Megan Kahn, Public Affairs Specialist, VA Southeast Network. In the heart of Augusta, Georgia, Valerie Jordan, an Army veteran and high school teacher, found herself facing a life-altering challenge. Known for her unwavering spirit and dedication to her students in Richmond County, Jordan's world was turned upside down on Thanksgiving Day in 2022 when she suddenly lost vision in her left eye. "It was so unexpected," Jordan said. "One moment I was enjoying the holiday, the next darkness took over my left eye." After two hospital visits and 18 long hours, doctors informed me it was irreversible. Until that day, I'd never even heard the word ophthalmologist. Despite the devastating news, Jordan remained hopeful. She had worked hard to advance in her career as an educator, and she was determined to be a principal. She secured a prosthetic eye and looked forward to returning to her routine. By July 2023, she was back on her way to becoming a principal. I was ready to share what I had experienced, she said, during a recent White Cane Day event at VA Augusta Healthcare System. But then people started suggesting retirement, and I just couldn't see that for myself. Jordan treated herself to a luxury 2024 hybrid Lexus and proudly drove with one good eye. But things took a tragic turn. In March 2024, she realized her right eye was beginning to fail, and only days later, her father died. At her next ophthalmic field test appointment, her doctor tearfully shared the results. "I was losing vision in my right eye, too. They still don't know why," Jordan said, who was now facing an uncertain future. "Who's going to teach me how to be blind?" One day, Jordan was out for a bite to eat when she encountered the kindness of a stranger who was associated with the Blinded Veterans Association, BVA. The stranger, who noticed Jordan's white cane, offered to connect her with VA Augusta blind rehab specialist Lisa Hardy, Blind Rehabilitation Center. "My whole world changed when I walked into the Blind Rehabilitation Center. It felt like being back in the military," Jordan noted. "Up at 6 a.m., medications, vitals, appointments. It gave me structure and a sense of purpose." Jordan credits the dedicated staff at the center for her remarkable progress. "Rachel Hansen taught me orientation and mobility. I learned to navigate neighborhoods, stoplights, and I was blindfolded going up and down stairs, truly understanding how to be blind. Chuck Gino introduced me to computers and technology that talk to me, like the keyboard, Fusion, and Excel. Lindsay Turner had me in the woodshop with goggles on, and I even made a rug." The transition wasn't seamless. "Don't get me wrong, I cried a lot," Jordan admitted. "The blindness was a massive change to my life. Psychology was there in case you go into a dark place, and with the support of Dexter Durante, Yolanda Burris, and the entire team, I found my way through." Jordan also found solace in the center's administrative staff, including Sandy Diltz, Paul Witten, Ashley Boyer, and Diana McNamee, who ensured a safe, clean environment where every question was answered. "They made sure all veterans were cared for, and their presence was invaluable to my journey." Witten, the chief of the Blind Rehabilitation Center at VA Augusta, noted, "Every 10 minutes someone becomes visually impaired and VA deems it a catastrophic disability." Witten went on to reflect on how many people may take the devastating news and attempt suicide or become a couch potato so as not to burden anyone else with their needs. He recognized the veterans in the audience for their heroism in fighting through and continuing to give back to the world. "I was there for 5 weeks, and it felt like a vacation," said Jordan. "I didn't want to leave." And that's Vacation at VA, One Woman's Mindset to Master Blindness. Next from news.va.gov, we have the safest place for homeless veterans, VA housing programs. This is from the 28th of November by Sean Liu, National Homeless Program Manager, Homeless Programs Office. How VA's Getting Veterans Off the Streets initiative helps support unsheltered veterans. The safest, healthiest place for homeless veterans is within VA's housing programs and supportive services. That's the message and mission of the Getting Veterans Off the Streets outreach events that took place across the nation earlier this summer. VA recognizes how important it is to go beyond traditional ways of outreach to meet the needs of our unsheltered veterans as effectively as possible, said Lisa Lincoln, a VA homeless outreach coordinator. First of its kind, national action. Between May and September 2025, every VA medical center in the United States participated in this first-of-its-kind national outreach surge, with each medical center hosting events to locate and provide homeless veterans with same-day housing. The goal of Getting Veterans Off the Streets events was to help VA provide at least 20,000 veterans nationwide with a path to self-sustainment and hope in fiscal year 2025. To achieve this, VA and its outreach teams adopted a rapid response model to locate, place, and enroll homeless veterans in VA programs, and then track and transition them into permanent housing. They continued to support these veterans by providing them with comprehensive health care and vocational services to sustain their progress. The Wilmington VA Medical Center is just one of the many medical centers that took part in this nationwide initiative to prevent veteran homelessness. At the Franklin Street Clinic in Washington, D.C., a DJ kept the music and energy flowing as 37 unsheltered veterans had breakfast and coffee and met with community partners for same-day housing and healthcare assistance. Milwaukee VA Community Resource and Resource and Referral Center hosted three Getting Veterans Off the Streets events, successfully engaging 27 unsheltered veterans and providing them with pathways to long-term housing and critical health care services. On July 30th, VA Sierra Nevada Healthcare System deployed eight teams into local communities to identify and assist homeless veterans. In addition to housing and VA benefits, several community providers were present to support sheltered and unsheltered veterans. The event successfully engaged with 42 unsheltered veterans. At the end of fiscal year 2025, VA's Getting Veterans Off the Streets initiative has helped 25,605 unsheltered veterans move into interim or permanent housing, surpassing its goal of 20,000 by 25.3%. Life-changing resources. As of January 2024, VA reported that there were 32,882 veterans experiencing homelessness across the United States. This figure reflects a 7.5% decrease from the previous year and marks the lowest level of veteran homelessness since national tracking began in 2009. VA attributes this progress to coordinated efforts across federal and local agencies, Housing First strategies, and targeted outreach events like Getting Veterans Off the Streets. While the work is far from over, VA and its partners are committed to providing every veteran with the home and benefits they deserve while demonstrating that these long-term policy and programmatic interventions are the most effective way to end veteran homelessness. You can learn more about VA programs. If you're a veteran who is homeless or at risk for homelessness or need to connect with a Veterans Justice Outreach Specialist, call the National Call Center for Homeless Veterans at 877-424-3838. You can visit the VA Homeless Programs website. That's at www.va.gov/homeless to learn about housing initiatives and other programs for veterans exiting homelessness. You can learn how to get involved with housing homeless veterans by going to www.va.gov/homeless and look for featured articles, So You Want to House Homeless Veterans. And that was The Safest Place for Homeless Veterans, VA Housing Programs. Then we have, from the 3rd of December, National Veterans Golden Age Games online store now open. VA is excited to announce that the National Veterans Golden Age Games online store, powered by Veterans Canteen Service, is officially open. Athletes, families, volunteers, and supporters can now browse and purchase exclusive Golden Age Games merchandise for the 2026 season. This online store offers a range of apparel and gear designed to celebrate the spirit of competition, wellness, and camaraderie that define the National Veterans Golden Age Games. Whether you're an athlete preparing for Tampa in 2026 or a supporter cheering from home, this is your opportunity to secure limited edition items that honor the dedication and achievements of our participating veterans. The Golden Age Games continue to be one of VA's largest adaptive sports events, promoting physical fitness, friendly competition, and healthy aging for veterans age 55 and older. The online store helps extend that celebration by giving participants and supporters a convenient way to showcase their pride in the event. Orders must be submitted no later than Sunday, December 21st, 2025. The store will close after this date, and late orders cannot be accepted. We encourage everyone planning to participate or support the games visit the store early and complete their order before the deadline. To explore available items and place your order, visit the National Veterans Golden Age Games online store today. Do not miss your chance to gear up and show your support for our incredible veteran athletes. And the best way to get the links to that store is by going to news.va.gov and look for Adaptive Sports or Vets Experience. And some of the items they have on sale are short sleeve performance tees for men and women, as well as long sleeve performance tees, performance polos, both sexes, and men's Micro Peak Performance 1/4 zip, as well as the ladies' Micro Peak Performance 1/4 zip. And that's National Veterans Golden Age Games online store now open. Next, the VA Office of Research and Development has their VA Research Wrap-Up. VA Research Wrap-Up, new findings on suicide prevention, blast exposure, and cancer. This is from the 28th of November. VA's Office of Research and Development recently published three news briefs highlighting research finding on suicide prevention, blast exposure, and a potential new lymphoma treatment. Telehealth therapy shows promise in suicide prevention. VA Office of Suicide Prevention researchers showed that VA Suicide Prevention 2.0 clinical telehealth program significantly improved veterans' coping, depression, and self-efficacy, and that it reduced suicidal thoughts and hopelessness. More than 2,700 veterans received approximately 9 sessions of cognitive behavioral therapy for suicide prevention, CBT-SP, via telehealth over a period of about 3 months. CBT-SP is an evidence-based treatment shown to be effective for suicide prevention, but it's not available at all VA sites due to a shortage of trained clinicians. The Suicide Prevention 2.0 clinical telehealth program fills this gap by offering the therapy remotely. The findings suggest telehealth-based CBT-SP is a feasible and practical approach to reach more veterans, and you can view the full study from suicide and life-threatening behavior by going to news.va.gov and searching for research. Low-level blast exposure may contribute to leaky gut. VA researchers from the James J. Peters VA Medical Center in New York learned that low-level blast exposure during mortar fire training is linked to changes in intestinal permeability biomarkers and cognitive symptoms such as dizziness and concentration difficulties. The researchers collected blood samples and physical and psychological test data from 22 service members before, during, and after a 3-month mortar fire training period, along with 9 service members not exposed to mortar fire as controls. They found exposure to low-level blasts during training significantly increased biomarkers of intestinal permeability, which can lead to undigested food particles, toxins, and bacteria entering the bloodstream. Those with signs of intestinal permeability also demonstrated decreases in cognitive functioning. The researchers further found service members with a prior mild traumatic brain injury had increased intestinal permeability biomarker levels. The findings suggest that blast exposure can cause gut permeability and add to evidence that digestive tract functioning can affect cognitive function. You can view the full study by going to the link on news.va.gov and looking for research. Natural compound has potential as lymphoma treatment. South Texas VA researchers demonstrated the dietary supplement alpha-ketoglutarate has potential as a treatment for B-cell lymphoma, a type of blood cancer. When administered to mice, the compound, which occurs naturally in the body and has been used as a supplement to promote wound healing, healthy aging, and other benefits, caused a rapid and long-lasting decrease in the energy available to cancer cells. The compound did not cause any adverse health effects. Cancer researchers have long believed targeting the cellular processes that drive cell growth and division could lead to a breakthrough in cancer treatment. The idea is to cut off the cancer cell's energy supply to starve them. The supplement reduces cancer cells' amino acids, depriving them of energy and the ability to grow, repair, and replicate. While future research is necessary to move from animal models to humans, the findings open promising new possibilities for the prevention and treatment of lymphoma. And again, the full study is available by going to news.va.gov and looking for research. For more Office of Research and Development updates, visit ORD online or go to www.research.va.gov/news_briefs. And that's VA Research Wrap-Up, new findings on suicide prevention, blast exposure, and cancer. Well, I'd like to thank you for joining me for this week's edition of Weekly Reveille here on Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman, reminding you again that you can listen to Weekly Reveille and other Sun Sounds of Arizona programming streaming on the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org or by downloading the Sun Sounds of Arizona app from the Apple App Store for your iPhone or iPad, or the Google Play Store for your Android phone or tablet. And you can always listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona streaming on your Amazon Dot, Echo, or Show.